So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fist this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. So yesterday we had the after show meeting. We were like, all right, what are we going to do? And Dan O'Brien had an idea. Dan O'Brien or Mike had an idea. They said that, you know, England's playing today at 2. If you went to an Irish bar and talked to people and asked them how they felt about England, they might say some funny stuff.
Yeah, because Ireland didn't make it, right? That's kind of the whole thing.
That's correct. I don't know how often they do. But and that was the idea. It's just like you go, we didn't give him any questions to ask. We didn't do anything. We just asked him to just go into an Irish bar, and these guys might say something funny. Obviously, it's not a home run, but it's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and, you know, just go out and try it. It could be easy. We could get something. We could find a character. But that's it. The only request was go to an Irish bar during the England game and ask people what they think about the English team. So Dan texts me. Now, Dan, you got a text from Bird. And Bird, a legitimate concern. Mm-hmm. Here's what Bird had to say.
Literally texted me right at 2 o'clock. The text comes in and says, quote, Ireland isn't playing today. It's England. And then the next text comes in 30 seconds later. It says, Ireland didn't make it.
So I'm not sure you quite understood the concept of the bit.
Well, because, Rich, it was very complicated.
I'm guessing.
Go talk to Irish guys at an Irish bar with the England game on and ask them what they think of the English national team.
Mm-hmm. He said he knew a hardcore Irish bar near him. So I thought, oh, okay.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be somewhat interesting to see what they thought?
You might find a character.
Yes. Okay.
You might get, you know, 3 minutes of a guy who's funny.
Who's passionate.
Who's
right.
drinking during the afternoon.
Without a doubt. Yep.
All right, so take a swing. You might not get nothing, but Bird takes that as somehow in his mind. I mean, I can't think of a more simple bit than just going and trying to find a guy to yell.
Well, I can think of one simple bit.
How's the roast beef?
I mean, how's the roast beef?
Well, he managed. But in his mind, he turned it into go to an Irish bar and talk to Irish guys about the Ireland's national team. That's what it turned into. Because he doesn't say, oh, he said Ireland didn't make it, England's playing.
Okay.
So he completely misunderstood.
So you haven't heard this?
I have not.
Okay, see, I have, and all I'll say is this, Fred. First of all, I had no idea what was going on, but now that you've explained that, guess who he learned that Ireland wasn't playing from?
I have no idea.
Why don't you just play the audio then?
All right, here we go.
Is this the radio?
Sure.
So what do you think of the Ireland match?
The Ireland match?
Yes.
You mean England match, right?
Isn't the same thing?
I don't think so.
Hence Dan's text.
But they're close to each other.
I'm finding out that, you know, I'm getting some sources are telling me that Ireland might not be playing.
No, Ireland and England is the same thing to him.
They all have funny hats.
United Kingdom, right?
You know, yeah.
They're all united. It's all under one umbrella.
You know, no. It's not true.
You know, London, leprechauns.
Yeah, same.
England match, right?
Isn't it the same thing?
I don't think so.
Isn't under the same crown?
We always support them, but I don't sure support us too much.
Isn't it under the same crown?
Under the same crown. I don't know. Once again, just imagine me opening this up and listening to it, and I'm like, what was the bit? Like, what's happening here?
The bit was, listen, man, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
We
give it a shot. Just, you know, maybe you'll find a character. If not, go about your day. Like, if the game was at 8, we wouldn't have sent them out.
No, I understand it. I understand. Now that you've told me that, it's like, you know, it's definitely, it's sound. But, I mean, imagine me listening to this and going, what's happening here?
Right. Nothing's, he's being educated about what the United Kingdom is. He's being educated on who the queen and the crown and all this.
Oh, okay. So what are your thoughts on the game against, who are they playing today?
Tunisia.
Where is that?
Africa somewhere?
I've never heard
North
of that country.
North Africa maybe?
Okay. So what was your favorite part of the match?
Kane's goals.
Is he one of your favorite players on the team?
My only favorite player.
Really?
He's like the only one I know because I don't follow soccer that much.
Okay. So
you should probably stick with this.
Here's a guy that you should continue to interview.
He's sober as a judge. He seems to be level-headed, and he's not a fan of soccer. And by the way, while you're at it, just send it on over to Rich. You know, hey, why not?
You see, I used to do something, Fred, when I would get audio, is I would record until I got something good.
Right.
Like, you just were continue to record. Well, that's it. It wouldn't be just like, well, I'm going to go out and record two pieces of audio and just send them in no matter what it is. Usually, I would continue to record until I found something good.
Well, he also says, he also, you know, informed Dan that the whole bit was askew because Ireland wasn't playing.
So, there's a kid from either Saudi Arabia or Iran, I can't remember where.
Salah, yeah. Egypt, right?
Yeah, he's 19?
Yeah.
Do you know he was homeless?
I did not know that.
So,
No, I did know that. Now you're making me remember a news item about
Do you remember what his father wanted him to do? He didn't want him to play soccer, so he kicked him out.
Yeah, he wanted, like, shepherd boy or something like that.
Yeah, that's
right?
Weird. Who still does that?
There's a lot of them. They need them in France now. Did you hear that story about all the wolves in France?
No.
Killing the sheep?
Really?
They need shepherds now.
I didn't know that.
Well, we learn something every day. In every bit of what Bird just said is completely inaccurate. All right. Dan, what is the story?
Mike and I were just talking. If he's referring to the player from Egypt, his name is Mohamed Salah. He's 26 years old. One of the best players in the world. Mike was telling me a story about the goalkeeper from the Iran national team, whose dad did not want him to play soccer, so he tore up all of his equipment. He wanted him to become a sheep herder.
Right. So that
Bird kind of heard a couple of things.
Bird heard it.
Bird, yeah.
We were having this conversation in the chalk lounge, and Bird just wanted to go, like, listen, I know a little something about the World Cup that might not be going your way.
How's the roast beef?
She just had to go to Kelly's Roast Beef and just started interviewing people again about soccer. It would have been as successful.
The idea was find a character, ask them about England. Hopefully they have hard feelings towards the national team.
Sure.
And that's about that.
Would you like to take a guess at how the second clip begins? just a gander?
What do you think about the Ireland game? Is this after the first one?
Yeah.
Okay, so
just know that he's already spoken to someone. Nothing's being retained. Like, he's just it's hitting his head and then just kind of blowing out into the sky.
Why did he share that story about the sheep herder guy?
Because he's talking. He's just words.
And then he sent it to you.
I did my job.
It just says home run. All right, so
are you going to predict what does he say at the beginning of this one? What do you think, John?
I think that this is going to go horribly sideways. He's not going to remember anything he just said.
No, he's going to say, "What do you think about the Iron?"
And by the way, same thing.
Can we not lose sight of that the game is on television?
Right.
The bar he's at.
All he had to do was turn to his left and look at the screen.
But in fairness, the country names are abbreviated.
That's a good point. ENG, it looks like IRL.
And then who do they play? Tunisia?
Tunisia, yes.
That's IRL, yeah. The Tunisia, it's easy to get a mix. Stuff. Can't tell you what Tunisia's abbreviation is, but nonetheless.
I think it's pretty easy. I think it's probably T-U-N.
Fair enough.
Yes.
It's not Ireland.
No, it's not.
Is this for radio?
Yes.
What do you think of the soccer game with Ireland?
Money.
Literally just had somebody tell you.
No.
Ireland's not playing.
Well, you got to fight through, Rich. Once you, you know, you keep chipping away. Maybe that guy was wrong.
You're right. Yes.
The England game is on at 2.
Yeah.
You're at the bar at 2. It's on television in front of your face. A guy tells you that it's not happening.
Oh, this is a great idea. Ben Millett, thank you. Should have Bird try and guess all the country names from the World Cup based on their abbreviations.
Oh.
COL.
Is he in
Colorado?
Is he in tomorrow?
Well, he can't do it tomorrow because he might know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like he's going to study? Is that what you're saying, Fred?
All right. Pencil that in for 7:20.
Oh, Ben, that's brilliant.
All right, here we go. It's more Bird.
Is this Spirit Radio?
Yes.
What do you think of the soccer game with Ireland?
It's England.
Oh, same thing, right?
Not quite.
At the end of the same crown?
Same the crown thing again.
And by the way, another home run guy that you found.
That's right. Very
perfectly reasonable guy. Probably stepped out of work for about an hour to catch some of the game.
Nice little business lunch, just sitting there. He's probably drinking a coffee.
No, I mean, he maybe slipped out to have a couple beers and watch the England game. You know, it's not. I mean, find like a total drunk guy who's just like out of his mind,
right? Drunk and angry.
Or you couldn't find anyone. I told Bert, I go, if you can't find anyone, you can't find anyone. I'm like, it's not a big deal.
No, they're definitely not. No.
No? No. All right. Did you know that, I think it's the Saudi Arabia or Irani goalie? He's
Irani!
Irani.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
We should also do that, too. What are people from this country called?
Yep. Well, that he can't study. But you're right. Like, he would put in the effort to, like, study. All right.
I think it's either Saudi Arabia or Irani.
You are a gem.
Oh, Everett High, you've covered yourself. He's got a college degree.
I know.
I think he does.
Yes,
no, he does.
No, he went to Curry.
He went to Curry.
Yes, he went to Curry
right now. Don't say the name. Don't say the name.
You idiot.
He said it.
Goalie. Do you know how young he is?
I have no idea.
So he's 19 years old, and I just found out his father didn't want him to play goalie. And if you could pick a job that you didn't want to do, what would it be? Because I'm going to tell you what his father wanted him to do.
What the hell is going on?
It's
a new bit. Guys, we're talking a new bit.
Guys, okay. I'm going to blow your mind here in about 2 seconds. Get any kind of job you want to do what you want to do. Oh, I don't know. A sheep herder? Yeah, that's it. I blew your mind.
If you could pick a job that you didn't want to do, what would it be? Because I'm going to tell you what his father wanted him to do.
A linesman.
All right.
And he's laughing. I don't even know what he said, but apparently he's screwing with Bird.
A linesman?
I don't know.
So the kid's a goalie. He's 19 years old, and his father wanted him to be a sheep herder.
Okay.
I just thought that was weird.
We should just do a bit. Oh, I just thought that was weird with Bird.
All right, we're coming up with so many. All right, so don't let us forget these. The abbreviation of the countries.
Yes.
The how to say someone's from that country.
Right. And I just thought this was weird.
I thought this is weird.
With Bird.
It's like just Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Right. He just gives you factoids. I just thought that was weird.
Hey, you know the duck-billed platypus? It's got like a duck bill on it. Just thought it was weird.
We should give him like 10 factoids and how much he can retain in order to tell other people.
There's so many things that you can do. I just thought it was weird. You know, the back of dollar bills got an eye on it.
It was always weird.
I just thought it was weird.
Mm-hmm.
How's the roast beef?
Ladies and gentlemen, you go like go. Well, that what do you thought? The instructions to go to an Irish bar and find a guy that didn't like England. That's all. All right, we will continue with our wonderfulness. Mannix joining us in just a matter of moments.
We all have our morning routines.
The kids ain't going to learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie, let's go. .985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Chris Mannix, senior writer for Yahoo Sports and The Vertical. covers the NBA, among other things. Chris Mannix, thank you so much for joining us.
What's going on, guys?
It's all good, baby. That's how they say it.
That's how they say it nowadays.
All right. So what's going on with Kawhi Leonard? Would the Celtics, are they indeed interested? What would it take to get him? Give us the info.
Well, they're interested, and you know, they've been interested for, you know, the last 6 months or so. The second part of your question is a little bit more difficult to figure out. I mean, the Celtics probably have a ceiling that they would like to just stay at, and you know, that ceiling in terms of trade offers is probably Jaylen Brown, you know, some money filler and some combination of draft picks they're willing to give up. But the Spurs are not, you know, look, they're not the Sacramento Kings. You're not going to get over on them all that easily. They're going to play teams off each other in these talks. You know, they're going to take this all the way to the, maybe all the way into free agency even. I think it's going to be a challenge to get him without giving up, you know, multiple core pieces of your roster. I don't think a guy like Jason Tatum would be on the table, but might you be forced to give up a Terry Rozier to get him? Maybe. Might you be forced to give up that Sacramento Kings pick from next year? Maybe. It's, you know, when you're dealing with Greg Popovich, and more specifically in this case, R.C. Buford, you're talking about, you know, some of the very best to do their jobs. So I don't know that I think it's done on draft night, but, you know, Boston, they'll be in the mix as long as this lasts.
From what you know about the Spurs, do they seem like the type of team that would be open to trading within the Western Conference? Because to me, it sounds like, unless you're like Phoenix or something and they give up that first pick, it sounds like they wouldn't want to give it to any kind of person that they'd have to go up against. To me, it seems like almost like a done deal that it's going to be an Eastern Conference team, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, look, I've asked that question to multiple GMs who deal with San Antonio regularly. And, you know, one told me even yesterday that, you know, the Spurs are the type of team that's going to go for the highest yield. And I just don't think that, you know, it makes sense. I mean, look, you know, what Indiana did last year with Paul George, part of the appeal of dealing with Oklahoma City was, you know, getting him out of that conference and knowing they're, you know, not going to have to compete with him, you know, for the years to come. But San Antonio, I think they're wired a little bit differently. I mean, I think they just want to make sure they get the best package of pieces back in return to get this team back on the right track. I mean, look, I think they know they deal Kawhi Leonard, it's going to be years before they're a legitimate contender again. So dealing with him, even in the Western Conference, for the next few years, you know, may really not be an issue anyway.
Okay, if he gets traded here, Chris, this obviously is not the place he wants to go. We've heard Los Angeles is where his preferred destination is.
I'll tell you what, though, guys. Like, it's tough to read, you know, players in these situations. I mean, look, Kyrie Irving didn't want to come to Boston. I mean, that was, we knew that at the start of his process last year. Kawhi Leonard, the people speaking for Kawhi Leonard, and look, I've talked to them. I know who these people are. Like, you're never entirely sure if they're actually speaking for Kawhi Leonard at this point. I mean, we know Kawhi doesn't want to be in San Antonio anymore, but I do believe he's, you know, if when the rubber meets the road there, so to speak, I mean, if you bring up Boston and have a long talk with him, I don't think he'd be against it.
Okay, I guess it's the red flags I'm worried about. And it's not even the physical red flags. It's the fact that I can't think of a situation where Popovich wasn't able to make something work, and this is kind of a shocking. I mean, it's, you know, everyone talks about Brad Stevens is so good with players. Well, I thought Popovich was that type of guy as well. So, is there any kind of thing we should be worrying about as far as his attitude is concerned if he comes to the Celtics?
You know, I mean, look, it's easy to think that, but I don't believe there's any attitude issues. I mean, this is a perfect storm of events that have kind of conspired to get Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs, you know, where they're at. There was an injury that turned out to be 1,000 times more problematic than anybody ever believed. There was a direct conflict between Leonard and the Spurs medical staff. And then you throw in some of the stuff that Leonard's teammates say. I mean, I've talked to people that know Kawhi, and, you know, one thing that keeps coming back to me routinely is that the comments made by Tony Parker, where Parker said his injury, which was comparable, was 100 times worse than what Kawhi had. Manu Ginobili kind of poking at him. Even Popovich at times, when asked about Kawhi, he says, talk to Kawhi and his people or his team and all that. I mean, that stuff really grated at Kawhi. I mean, Kawhi's feeling is that he's done a lot for that franchise, even in a short period of time. He was a finals MVP. That really, I think, I don't know if hurt's the right word, but it bothered him. And so you couple that with the disconnect with the medical staff and where he's at physically. It's just, it just is a weird sequence that happened in San Antonio. All that's sort of a preamble, guys, to me saying that I don't think that wherever you trade him to, I don't think he becomes an issue for that team long term.
Well, we've mentioned the injury history a couple of times here since you've been on. Does anyone know if he's full speed or will be before next season starts?
You know, I hear from inside his circle. I hear from people that know him that he's 100%. But you're right. You have to dig into that. You have no choice. I mean, you can't give up, you know, multiple huge assets plus, you know, pay a guy probably $40 million per year, which is like a third of your salary cap, more even, unless you're sure he's healthy. So whoever is acquiring him, you know, they're going to need to see everything. There's going to have to be a battery of tests done before he even can pass that physical. Teams that are into him are keenly aware of this. They're just not putting the cart before the horse. I mean, what they're doing right now is trying to come up with the best offer, and then they'll deal with the any lingering issues with the quad later.
All right, Chris Mannix, from all of the people that you've spoken with, GMs and such, what do you think the situation with Marcus Smart is going to end up being? Because, I mean, is there somebody that's going to be able to swoop in and give the ridiculous amount of money that Danny's not willing to match, or how do you think this is going to end up?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of people out there that really like Marcus Smart. I've yet to kind of identify the team that is going to give him that type of offer. I mean, there are teams I suspect are going to get in it. I mean, Sacramento is going to get in it. I think Denver, if they can move some pieces around before free agency to clear some space, which I think they will, I think they're going to get into it. I think Indiana is a team that, depending on what happens with Thaddeus Young and his contract, I think they're going to get in it. I mean, I think that I believe Lance Stephenson can be a free agent. And I think some of the people out there look at Marcus Smart as being a better version of Lance in that mix. But, you know, going after him is one thing. Offering, you know, $15 million per year is another. I mean, there's just a real gun shyness this year about, you know, splurging on salaries. Teams are looking at the summer of 2019 and seeing what that draft class would look like. And they're reluctant to offer, you know, I don't always call Marcus questionable, but, you know, non-alphas, you know, long-term big money deals. So he's going to get offered some money, but I'm not sure that it's going to be an offer that Boston's not going to be willing to match.
All right, where do you put the Celtics on the list of LeBron destinations?
I don't put him that high. I mean, this is what LeBron does. I mean, he loves chaos more than any player I've ever covered. I mean, he wants, you know, half the league chasing him. He wants everybody in the league to be a free agent when he is. You know, he just wants to move pieces around on the chessboard and find his best destination. Now, there's no question that, you know, in this free agency, you know, there aren't any, you know, natural destinations. In 2010, you know, we didn't see Miami coming, but ultimately they made a lot of sense because of the talent that's there and the age of that talent. In 2014, Cleveland made a lot of sense because of Kyrie and Kevin Love, obviously, and where he was playing, being able to go home. Now, I don't know where to look. I mean, Houston could, but Houston would have to, you know, gut the entire roster outside of Chris Paul and James Harden to go and get him. L.A., we know there's a connection for him there, but he's also not going there unless one or two players goes with him. Cleveland, they could flip Kevin Love and that eighth pick to get something, but is that enough to entice him? There isn't a natural destination. Now, Boston, I think, is just out there because they're a good team, but we all know the deal. I mean, what the Celtics would have to do to their roster for a guy that may only be willing to sign a one-year contract or a two-year contract, it just doesn't make a lot of sense from the Celtics' perspective. So I think that, you know, there could be a conversation, maybe even a sit-down with LeBron, though there's plenty of danger to that in terms of how you piss off your team.
Yeah, is that going to take off Kyrie? You know Kyrie, and obviously because of what he did last year, just having a sit-down with LeBron, is that going to be detrimental to Kyrie's relationship with Danny Ainge?
Yeah, I don't know what Kyrie would think about that specifically, but just logically, yeah. I mean, I know that, you know, the argument is, look, we're trying to get the best players in there, but I don't know how, you know, with him entering his contract year, that you're going to sit down with the player that he specifically tried to get away from.
Yep.
I mean, that's, you know, it's not like Kyrie was tired of going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and wanted to go to, like, you know, a bigger market. He wanted to get away from LeBron James. Didn't want to play with him anymore. So if you're going out there saying, you know, we're sitting down with LeBron knowing that you're going to have to, you know, change a bunch of pieces on the roster to get a deal like that done, I don't see how that sends anything but a bad message to Kyrie.
Have you seen the Uncle Drew movie?
I have not. I'm not exactly sure that I will.
This is you're not already buying your tickets in advance. I heard it's.
I'll be a Netflix guy.
They're advertising that movie like it has a chance.
I heard that if you love Pepsi logos, it is the best movie ever made.
Yeah, it's just.
Well, I mean, look, if it's the best movie and athletes, I mean, is it beat like Thunderstruck, which Kevin Durant did? Like,
you know, like I saw Thunderstruck, but
really?
That never came out in theaters, though.
Oh, all right. I mean, like, is it better? I don't even know what is it. Is it like Blue Chips? Probably not.
Oh,
like,
Blue Chips was excellent. Blue Chips was a good movie. Yeah, that was a legitimately good movie.
So that's like the high end, right? Like Blue Chips is the high end. Like Mike is like, you know, kind of the low bar. So
I would say Steel with Shaq might be the low bar, or Kazam.
Yeah, Steel. If it's Steel, I'm not going to see it. That's for sure.
All right, Chris Mannix, thank you as always, sir. Senior writer for Yahoo Sports and The Vertical. We appreciate it.
Anytime, guys.
All right.
No, the worst basketball player in a movie. I mean, well, first of all, Wilt Chamberlain in Conan the Destroyer was one of the worst roles of all time.
Yeah.
But there is a film that Dennis Rodman made, an action movie,
that's
where Dane Cook is his comic sidekick called Simon Says.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
S-E-Z. You thought that Double Team was the worst
one?
That's where I thought you were going. No. Simon Says has a young Dane Cook as his sidekick, and Dane Cook, it's like his first movie, I think, is trying to be Jim Carrey so bad. It's excruciating to watch. You can go on YouTube and find all of Simon Says' worst scenes, and it's definitely worth watching.
I'm gonna have to do that.
It's so bad that it's worth seeing like a 5-minute highlight reel of the worst scenes.
All right. Well, we were talking about Phil Mickelson and what happened at the U.S. Open and all the outrage because it was in one of the CBS Sports minutes. But someone at this very radio station got so worked up they somehow lost a little bit of control.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
So we will hear about that. But first, the headlines.
You're listening to Kutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Who is this?
GNR. It's something that they recorded, I think, when Appetite for Destruction was out. And this is a cut that they've been holding on to. And I think it's part of that big box set they're going to release. It's called, like, The Shadow of Your Love or something like that.
Here's the thing about box sets is you'll buy it and you'll never listen to it.
Oh, I
it's never
a box set in the digital age anymore. I mean,
well, because you want a tangible thing. Like, that's why they got. That's how they make money now. Is that you don't have to sell a lot of them, but you can stuff a bunch of crap in there. Because I have the Misfits box set, which I've literally never listened to anything on it. The only box set that I have that I listen to is the Kiss one, but I don't even listen to it anymore. That's a fine box set.
Yeah. Now,
but not Gene Simmons, like everything Gene.
I had a bunch of them, but they just collect dust.
I try to listen to that Jayhawks album that you suggested. I'm not a fan.
I love that album. If you like Tom Petty, it is excellent.
Well, that's why probably I don't like it. Tom Petty, by the way, if you're looking to read a biography, don't read the Tom Petty one.
Okay.
Boring as, unless you love that first band he was in.
Oh, Mudcrutch?
Yep. And you love getting into why songs are the way they are on the Mud Crunch and da 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 da. Just going like, you know, this guy probably led a pretty interesting life. You know, he had about, what, 40 plus years in the record industry?
Yeah. 30 of those making mega hits.
And, you know, the lifestyle of touring and everything.
Sure.
Not a hard man to make interesting. But the guy who wrote the book just said, nah.
Let's go to Mudcrutch. But it's written by one of the guys in Mudcrutch, though, right?
No, it's written by a guy who was in a band that toured with Tom Petty, and he's, like, obsessed with him.
Okay.
Which is the worst kind of author you can have for a biography.
Sure.
Because they just want to make you look good, and they're interested in things that no one else is interested in. Like, do you like Frank Sinatra particularly?
He's fine.
Right. Okay?
Yeah.
So, but books about him rule.
Oh, sure, because, yeah. I mean, the lifestyle he lived and his connections with the people he ran with are nuts.
So if I read, if I read a book and it's about getting in depth into his recording practices and, you know.
You hate Jimmy Buffett, but you loved his book.
I hate Jimmy Buffett, but I loved his book. You could hate Motley Crue and love The Dirt.
Dirt's the best book I've ever read.
You could have no knowledge of television or Richard Hell or the New York Dolls, and you could read Please Kill Me, and you'll love it. The NoFX book, you could absolutely hate NoFX and read the NoFX book and be like, oh my God. I don't like Warren Zevon very much, but the Warren Zevon book was great. So these are the things. Don't read the Tom Petty book. All right. Well, golf is a, if you don't know, it's a fairly stodgy affair. It's a game where people treat it almost like church. It's annoying because sometimes you're even on a crappy course or you're with your kid and they're like, oh, the kid doesn't have a collared shirt on. And you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, just stop.
Just give me a.
What, does it screw up your game? Like, you're not able to concentrate?
I understand if you're at, like, you know, Augusta or you know, some Bethpage Black, but that's a public course, so no, not even there. But if I you know, I understand, Pebble Beach, like I understand, like Pebble Beach, all right, but if I'm at like a decent course in Tennessee, like enough, like I'll wear a collared shirt, but if the kid doesn't have one on, like give me a little bit of a break, okay? So Phil Mickelson at the U.S. Open, he putted, then he didn't like, the putt ran the hole, so he went over and he hit it.
While it was still moving, knocked it back. It's like what we do, like when you're just like playing with your friends, like, ah, let's get this hole over with. And you hit it, and then that one didn't go in, and while that was still moving, he hit it again. And then afterwards, he said, yeah, I mean, I kind of figured that I wasn't liking how things were going. I knew it would be a two-stroke penalty if I just got it over with, so I hit it.
Have you ever been playing with people and gambling and you're so bad that they just give you putts from like 20 feet away so you'll stop?
That happens if we don't gamble. That happens with me.
Because they know they're going to win. So like they'll just go, hey, yeah, it's you. Just stop playing.
That's good. Yeah,
I'd rather lose money, which I know they're not. But Hardy, host of the golf show on this very channel, obviously very talented, on with Zolak and Bertrand, he did not like what Phil Mickelson did. I have not heard this audio.
Okay.
Now, do I have it or do you have
it? You have it.
Okay, I have it. I do not have it.
Okay.
You have it.
All right.
All right, so here we are. This is Hardy. I believe this is yesterday on the midday show. Remember, this is Phil Mickelson putting and then hitting the ball a couple times while it was moving. That's all that happened.
It's so basic and obvious and not acceptable and against the rules that no one could believe it. Everyone's laughing about it. His playing partner that day, the big beefy guy, Beef Johnson, right? He was laughing about it. He goes, honestly, dude, I don't mean to laugh. I've just never seen anyone do that before. Like, what the hell were you thinking? Did you see Phil running away from the... Excuse me.
Oh, Jesus! Holy Jesus! Oh, my God!
Sorry.
Give me some of that, huh? Mm. How about that one? Wow! I'm a self-aware.
Mickelson! Mickelson always brings out the F-bombs on this station.
You couldn't use the F-word any better.
That's pretty great.
He was so disturbed by Phil Mickelson. Like, can you imagine being that upset about something like that?
Guy's been on the radio, a consummate pro for 25 years.
Most of those years. But here's the thing. I think he'll tell you a couple years in Vegas wasn't the greatest. But listen, if you've been in it long enough, you've had your ups and downs. But yeah. I think that when you like golf enough, like where it becomes an obsession, it becomes like this sacred thing. And you are like taken aback and offended by any kind of thing. Crash, everything that Crash does, he brings a koozie to every bar. He wears sleeveless shirts with the Olsen twins on him. He has a tattoo of Godzilla. Mm. He used to hump the ground in his backyard. He just, but he gets infuriated at Tiger Woods when he yells because Crash likes to play golf. but crash with everything that he does that you're like, what?
They're like keepers of the game.
He's a guy
keep it sacred.
That got fired from a radio station because he gave away tickets to a girl who gave oral to a guy in the bathroom. And he can't take it that there's yelling on the golf course. There's something about golf. And here's what my thinking is, and follow me on it. And I've thought about this a lot, is when you retire or when you get older, golf is a great way to be a hobby. But in order for it to be a hobby that means more than just, you know, your average tennis game or something,
mm-hmm.
you have to hold it sacred. Or you realize you're just wasting your time. Like, to retire and to play golf, and that's what my retirement, that's kind of what my parents did, and just to retire and play golf, and I'm going to shoot my age and this and that. It has to mean more to you than just being a game. Like, you have to hold it sacred, or if you look at it from a distance, it's all kind of nothing.
So, it's to keep themselves from realizing that all I'm doing is hitting a ball around the woods, and
right.
that's all. That I'm making huge meaning out of something that's truly meaningless.
Right? Like I'm dying. Like I'm going to die, and the way I'm putting out these years is, and it's great.
Well,
you know, it's 3 hours, 3.5 hours, where I don't think about anything, but. For some reason, and it's the same thing with tennis. Like, at some of these tennis clubs, you have to wear all whites. Now, why do I have to wear all whites? Because if you don't, you're going to realize that this isn't that big a deal.
At the end, we're all dying anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing, like, with any hobby.
Sure.
Like, you have to throw, and that's why I always say I wish I had a hobby that I really cared about,
mm-hmm.
that was about me.
That keeps you distracted from the meaninglessness of all of this.
Yes, well, if that's how everyone needs it. So, like, I'm not putting it down. I truly wish that I could throw something, not my kid in my kid's life, not any of this, that I could throw myself into that was just for me and enjoy it. Hardy, hello.
I was just sitting here thinking I was calling in to defend myself, but I really can't argue with a lot of that, so maybe I should just hang up. I'm also afraid of swearing again.
All right, so you agree with me a little bit.
I agree with you, but I don't take it that. I don't take it seriously when I'm playing. Ask Wallach. Wallach and I have played together.
It's no,
like,
I know.
I know. But for the Mickelson thing, my only point is, dude, if you're not going to play, just withdraw. Because at that point, you're not playing in the U.S. Open anymore. You're just out there screwing around like I do when I go play.
Why withdraw?
That's how you're going to play in the tournament, just, all right, finish the round and then say, you know what, obviously I'm not into this anymore, so just I'm not going to play in the final round.
But isn't it funnier if he doesn't? Isn't it more entertaining to all of us if you just know he's out there pissed because you want to see if he does something else stupid?
It also plays into the fact that Phil Mickelson is such a duplicitous jive ass. I mean, that guy should be in prison right now for that insider stock thing that he did. There are people in prison who were in it with him, but he somehow got away with it. You know, the Mr. Nice Guy, I'm going to sign every autograph. There's a great reason why most of the guys on tour can't stand him.
Because he's phony.
And that was just another example of it, you know, on Saturday.
All right. Well, listen, I would keep you on, but we got a break because the commercials cost less after 9. So
yeah, and I'm going to swear again if I keep going, so goodbye.
Bye. There you go. So there we have it. Throw yourself into something. Have a hobby. Hell, Rod Stewart takes trains on the road with him. He takes model trains on the road with him.
Yeah, it's odd. Train collecting thing's a little strange.
But it's something. He can escape his mind for a period of time. That's all it is. Mm. I mean, you should see these guys after they quit drinking and doing drugs. You got to, like, throw yourself.
Need to keep the hands busy.
Yeah, like hog wild into something. All right, we'll be back. An odd request at a restaurant that we should talk about.